Chapter 48. Sutterdam. Upon winning the battle outside Sutterdam, General Sumroth pulled his dagger and slit the throat of his aurochs. He recognised this was a wasteful, petty thing to do, but he despised the animal with a passion that exceeded the excruciating blisters it had raised on his backside. He hated its bad temper and the way it continually tried to bite or kick him. He abhorred its stink and its spit.
"Enough! May the wretched beast and its bony spine rot forever!"
He ordered his aide to find him the best horse left alive on the battlefield. Then the general gathered together officers and infantry and rode into the city of Sutterdam, outwardly impassive, but inwardly impressed by the trapping of peace and luxury. The populace hid from the conquerors, but he cared little about them. Houses with balconies filled with flowers, watering troughs for horses outside of businesses filled with an unimaginable wealth of goods, ornate carvings on each bridge, expensive glass in many windows. As he and his men rode by, pet dogs barked at the conquerors. Sumroth could hardly recall when he last saw a dog in Oromondo. They had all been eaten long ago. He recalled dog meat being tasty, but he also remembered faintly the pleasure of a dog's affection. He had been deprived all his life of trivial and grand comforts these people took for granted. Leading his personal platoon to the centre of the city, he decided that the inn at Golden Bridge would do as officers' quarters and the council house as his army's field office. He sent a squad scavenging for food and drink. Soon he and his top officers ensconced themselves in the dining room of the tavern and made the quaking staff serve them the best meal they had enjoyed in years. Newly baked bread, beef soup, sweet halibut, fresh vegetables, all washed down with goblets of wine and topped with sweets, cheese and nuts. Reports started coming in of so many protectors dead, so many walking wounded, so many enemy killed, so many slaves captured, so many horses rounded up, so many wagon loads of food expropriated, so many quarters for the protectors requisitioned, etc., etc., etc. Sumroth nodded at each report and pointed to one of his high officers, choosing them by counting their flame tattoos, as the person responsible for following up on the matter. Personally, he cared only about the number of Oro fatalities, which a fourth flamer estimated at 3,000, meaning that Sumroth still commanded nearly 10,000 protectors, more than enough to conquer this nation of artisans and burghers. The officers' stomachs groaned with the rich food. One fifth flamer ran from the room sick to his stomach, while another started snoring at the table. They ate again and drank more wine. Sumroth felt weary, and after this heavy meal, sleepy. But first he craved a real bath. He had slaves brought in to fill a bathtub with scalding water. He ordered up a squad of captured women to scrub the blood and grime from his body and wash his hair pure white again. The water soothed some of his aches, but not the most troublesome. Naked, he walked to his doorway. "You," he ordered the protector on duty,
"I want you to fetch a healer to me, a Free States healer."
"Yes, General,"
the soldier saluted. Sumroth drank a flagon of sweet water and then, still unclothed, walked out onto his balcony. He looked around Sutterdam Square at the merchants' rich dwellings and the statue of the martyrs in the middle of the park. Oh, he hated these softlings, these weaklings who had everything without sacrifice. So drugged by their prosperity, they didn't even know how to defend it properly. Sumroth felt drunk now, drunk on wine, exhaustion, and victory.
What did these lordwits ever do to deserve the plenty they take so for granted? I own their country now.
Deliberately, he pissed off the balcony, showering his spray in a victorious arc. A knock at the door interrupted his gesture. Somroth finished emptying his bladder and gave himself a little shake before shouting, "Enter!" His soldiers had brought a haggard healer, his apron splashed with blood, carrying a satchel. A big bruise started to puff out his jaw.
"Ah, took long enough," Somroth grumbled.
"He gave us lip about coming, sir."
"I was trying to save a life," said the man, his eyes still ablaze. "How could that matter, one Free Stater more or less?" Somroth said. "Soldiers, you will wait outside."
After they closed the door, the general addressed the healer.
"I have painful blisters on my bum. You will lance them and dress them."
If the captive considered complaining about being dragged away from a life and death situation for this medical emergency, he kept his thoughts to himself. Somroth stretched himself out on the bed so the healer could get to the inflammations. He knew the little coward didn't have the nerve to use the knife in his hand to injure or kill the man who had just taken his country, and sure enough, the healer just docilely lanced the blisters, which hurt like fire, though Somroth wouldn't allow himself even to blink. Then the man disinfected the area.
"You may go now back to your patients. Your
two blazes," Somroth waved a dismissal. Then he gave a prayer of thanks to Posar and tumbled into the feather bed, wishing that Zia snuggled here beside him.